I'm Michael Whitehouse, and this is the Writers Republic podcast. Writers Republic helps authors get their stories to the world by supporting them and publishing their own book their own way. On this show, we interview authors to share the story behind the story. Stick around after to learn how you can get their book and for information on how Writers Republic can help you publish your own book. And now, let's learn the story. Hello and welcome once again. Today, our guest is Dr. Leji Boone. She is a forensic analyst, author, and educator. Dr. Boone's main fields of interest are vicarious traumatization, implicit bias in crime scene attendance, personal impact of law enforcement, suicide, and active dreaming. She has researched organizational support for forensic personnel and explored contributors to law enforcement suicide, along with the policies accessible for awareness and intervention. Dr. Boone has worked as an educator in Baltimore County, Maryland schools and colleges, teaching sciences. Her crime scene and teaching experiences allowed Dr. Boone to collaborate on the publishing of the forensic textbook, And So You Want to Be a CSI, with two other former CSIs. Dr. Boone also published Fox Tales, short stories written while puppy sitting. She has multiple poems and song lyrics published in books and magazines. Dr. Boone currently works as contributing faculty at Walden University in the forensic psychology program. She has also been an invited speaker for many international conferences, including those sponsored by the Global Scientific Guild, Worldwide Association of Women Forensic Experts, and the Caribbean Association of Forensic Speakers. And unexpected and surprisingly funny about her, she started consistent note-taking in college because a graphologist told her that she would achieve her goals, but she was so absent-minded she should write things down to better remember them, and that was back in 1980. Six. So, welcome, Dr. Boone. And so this book that we are talking about today, Dear Dreammaker, doesn't really fit into a category. It's not quite a memoir. It's not quite an anthology. Tell me about the structure of this book.
It's a combination of the two plus journaling. I have spent years and years and years averaging maybe three decades full of journaling my dreams, and also keeping intermittent diary notes. So the stories that are in my dreams are like movies in my mind. Mm-hmm. So I write my dreams out because of the detail and how much I can clearly see in my dreams when I do wake up and sit still to write them out. So I try to make the story as clear to the person listening or reading as it was in my actual dream. Mm. So I've been doing this for a very long time. More than half of my life, I've been writing these dreams down because there must be some importance to them, not just necessarily for me, but sometimes for the people that are in my dreams.
Oh, fascinating. So you're kind of bringing the audience along on the journey of your dreams.
Exactly. I have so much detail in several of the dreams that my mom has told me it sounds like I'm explaining a movie, and occasionally she'll just like, "Are you finished yet? Mm-hmm. Is this still part of the dream?" And yeah, I'm like, just listen, because it's about you.
Yep. Yeah. So talk a little about the psychology of that, like what you've learned about yourself and about emotions through this dreaming journaling process.
I think having the opportunity to write them down or making myself get up and write them down has been therapeutic for me. Over the years, I've had a few tragedies, different life events that were mind-boggling a little bit, as in the passing of the man I married through suicide. Mm-hmm. And that event and the relationship that we had, a lot of that is included in that first, this first book of dreams, the feelings I was going through, the emotional roller coaster, the tragedy itself, and then working with my daughter, who was 3 years old at the time that he passed, and so a lot of the dreams that I had included him, and at the same time, the emotions I was dealing with, having dealt with a emotionally, mentally abusive relationship with him. So my growth changed and evolved in the dreams from a position of somewhat passive when he would be present to being more vocal, where he had initially had a voice, and at times he didn't have a voice, and at times I was more more active, more not necessarily aggressive, but more confident. So there's an evolution of some of the dreams in that, but there are multiple themes that are recorded in this book and in future books.
Okay, so your dreams, it sounded like took you on a journey of development. Yes. And growth.
Definitely.
And healing.
Some highs and lows, and in between, things with my daughter's growth, things with when my father passed away and my relationship with him. He was my Superman. So losing Superman for me, and our friendship, our relationship, our you know, some of the things that he shared with me, and some of the things I wanted to know about him but didn't have a chance to get to know. The relationship he had with my mom, and they were married 42 years until his passing. So that had an impact on my relationship, my romantic relationships, as well as just missing him for being present, to be present with my daughter when I needed another father figure in her life.
And now, so you talked about the dreams, how they helped you to work through things that happened in the past, but you also mentioned that in the notes you sent that dreaming has inspired you to do things, art, construction, complex math, creativity. Talk about some of the things that dreams have inspired you to.
I draw a little bit more. I'm not an artist. I would never claim that quite in the realm of drawing, but I do draw a little bit more. So I try to incorporate, make notes in my journals and in the books that I'm working on to fulfill my series of some of the dreams, just to give a little more detail of what I see. I've also had images of jewelry, of clothing designs that I've tried to draw enough or speak to other persons who are more creative than me, who know how to build these things, to see if it's possible to make this a tangible object. So I've had a couple of items of clothing made from images I've seen in my dreams. They're not exactly, not exotic or necessarily bizarre. They're just different because they were something I saw in my dream, and maybe the colors were a different organization of colors and patterns than a typical outfit might be. I've tried to make the jewelry, but definitely need some training for those things. A couple of songs that have come from dreams, and I wish that I could remember the songs better, but I do have, I have had piano lessons, and I've played multiple instruments, so I know how to read music. So I would try to remember the tune enough to write out maybe a few measures of what it looks like on paper, to keep that tune in my head, or keep that tune available when I could get to actually write the dream out and remember it. Because once I write it down, I tend to forget them.
Kind of download it. Now as you're sharing your dreams, that inspire other people to share their dreams with you?
They do. I do get that quite a bit. If I tell somebody that they were in my dream, they may share a portion of a dream. Will tell me they never remember their dreams, don't even know if they dreamed, and wonder how I can remember my dreams in such detail. But I do have family members and friends that will let me know, well, I had this dream about, you know, this animal, or my daughter will tell me about some of her dreams, especially if there's some anxiety involved. I thought I was going to get fired. But no, you didn't. You woke up. You still have somewhere to go this morning. But she'll tell me about her dreams in more detail, but she doesn't reflect as deeply as I have, but I've been doing it 30 years more than her.
That makes sense. Now, so I imagine some of the challenge with dreams, you're saying earlier that, you know, you share with your mother your dreams, she'd be like, are you done? Is it, because, you know, with a dream, you often expect, I was chased by a wolf and there's a table and then I hit it with a stick and I was done. I'm like, oh, okay, nice dream. Yeah, whereas if your dream is much more involved, so you know, is that why you ended up writing it down? And what are some of the challenges around the sharing of dreams?
Sometimes that is a challenge to get somebody to keep somebody's attention, because everybody's attention span is not as long as you want it to be. And having been a teacher, I understand that, because my students, whether they were high school or college and grad students, the attention span is only a certain number of minutes. So you don't want to drag your story out. I would only tell highlights of the dream after a while. And just leave the rest on paper and say, wait till I write the book. So hopefully they'll take that moment, take that time to flip back to whenever and see that dream. Oh yeah, she told me about this one and there was more to it than she mentioned, you know, maybe. But it's a lot of, I think it's therapeutic in general for anyone to journal whatever's on their mind, whether it's their sleeping mind or their wake mind, and dealing with whatever is positive or negative that they're going through.
And so, yeah, you talk a little bit more about journaling, and so for those who are not familiar with journaling, and first how to do it, because some people hear journaling and they're like, oh, do I need to buy a special book on Amazon that's a journaling prompt book, or what it takes to journal, and some of the benefits of doing so.
I think journaling is whatever you want it to be. If you need a special notebook for your thoughts, invest in that, or go to a five quarter store, no longer the dollar store. I'll go to the five quarter store and get a low budget spiral notebook or composition notebook. I can't remember what they were called. A composition notebook or a mini notepad, whatever it takes to help you get something out of your head and onto paper. And that helps you sometimes visualize what that is, whether it's a goal, it could be something negative that happened and you just don't want to, you need to organize those thoughts and you don't want to keep thinking about them. So you put them on paper. You can always throw that paper away or you can keep it somewhere to reflect on it later. I've been taking notes where almost everywhere I go, when I go to meetings for work or when I go to church, I take a notebook with me to church because I want to remember what the speaker talked about. I won't remember if I walk out of that church service 10 minutes later and someone asked me, well, what was the service about? What was the message? I might be able to tell you what book of the Bible that was mentioned, but it just goes in one ear and out the other if I'm not making a note of some of the things that stood out to me. And sometimes I can go for pages and pages and pages, and that can be good and bad. but I encourage journaling because it is therapeutic. It does help clear your mind. It does help maybe organize your vision. If you have a goal, it helps you with bulleting those thoughts. Or some people use those prompts that are available. There are plenty of journal prompts out there that can be sold, you know, are sold in bookstores and online. But I find just thinking, writing out a prayer or writing out a list. I'm constantly writing almost all day long, not necessarily for book purposes, but to take notes on different things, to organize my thoughts. I'm working on a training manual for work. I'm writing out a protocol on how to operate a certain system that we use on the job. I'm writing reports for the job. I'm grading papers and writing notes. Yes, I'm that teacher that still uses a red pen. I'm bloodying up all of these, you know, these papers, but it's for the benefit of clarity and feedback. It's not always negative feedback, but I want to make sure that whoever's receiving this can understand what I was thinking at the time, why I thought you need to address this, or why I thought this was a great piece of information. So it gives me a chance to go back and forth. I do look back at my notes, my church notes, my journals for my dreams. I do look back at them and wonder, what the heck was I eating that day? Or what was going on? You know, and sometimes I did enter a prayer or a passage on what was happening. I wasn't feeling good this morning, or yesterday I went out with my friends and we had a great time. Whatever it was, I usually write a little brief something before or after the dream to kind of give a little bit of background.
Yeah, so there's a lot of value in that journaling to get clarity and to keep those recollections, and to be able to look back and say, you know, who was that, or what was that thing, or what did I do last year? Or, you know, to be able to go back to that, I imagine, can be a very, very powerful thing. And then, of course, with, you know, dreams, as you have them, being able to capture those as well, instead of like, yeah, an incredible dream yesterday. What was it about? I don't know, but it was great. And so your dreams, is it always, you know, you interacting with people, you real people, you know, or what's the,
not always. Sometimes there are often involving people in my life, my family or friends, or coworkers. When I was working at the Baltimore Zoo, now the Maryland Zoo, when I was working there, I would have animal dreams. When I was assisting with autopsies, every now and then there'd be an autopsy in the dream. When I worked crime scenes, I had crime scene dreams. I'd wake up and draw a crime scene sketch for a scene that I had never attended. And so, yeah, and with the current position I'm in as an analyst, I have a lot of dreams about my office place, not necessarily looking at fingerprints, because I don't want to look at fingerprints in my dreams. But I do see evidence around, and kind of a combination of the crime scenes and the working with the police and the organization of the office more in the dream nowadays. I did have some teaching dreams dealing with some of my students in high school atmosphere and at the colleges I've been in person in sessions with. So where I am in life does impact the dreams, but I don't always see people that I know. There have been some movie stars or musical artists, like Red Fox has made an appearance, Richard Pryor, Nicolas Cage, Lynette McKee. There's been some Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown, and I didn't watch that show, but they did an episode in my dream one night.
There you go.
Like, what are they doing in my dream? But sometimes it's just people that I would not think about or have thought about in years. People who lived in my neighborhood growing up. I haven't seen them in person, but they would pop into my dream and I'd wake up like, I haven't seen that Joker in forever. And I don't even know if he's still around, you know, but they would pop into my head. And I said, let me reach out and see if I can locate that person, at least to see how they're doing. And that's always been a positive thing. So far, it's been a good thing to check in. I don't always tell them what the dream is about. I'm just telling them something made you pop into my head, and I just wanted to check on you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Have you ever had a time when something came to you in a dream about, you know, an investigation or whatnot, that the next day you're like, I got it. It came to me last night.
I don't want that power.
Okay.
No, I've thought about it, and there's been exactly two instances where I was working crime scenes and I had the dream. One dream occurred the morning of the incident, and I received a call. It was on a Saturday and I was on call. They called me at home, told me to come to this address, and I had just written the dream down. So it's maybe about between 9 and 10 a.m. So I had just written the dream down, got into my clothes after they called and said, it's a homicide. I need you to come here. I got there, pulled up, and said, wait a minute. It was in a vacant lot that was next door to the location I was in the dream, which was a lady from church. I was visiting her. And in the dream, there was a woman walking down the street naked with her back. I could only see her backside. Mm-hmm. She walked down the street and one of the neighbors, you know, other people were out on their porches or talking to each other in front of their homes, just doing yard things or just being out because it was a nice day. And a woman came up to her and was like, honey, let me help you, you know, and she came up to her and put like a sheet or a robe or something to cover her front and kind of walked away with her. And me and Miss Lavinia, the lady who I was visiting, she says, that's kind of strange. And we're just standing on her porch, just talking and looking. And in the dream, this was all just really clear. But when I got to the scene, it was in a vacant lot that was right next to her home. It was, covered with grass. And someone had buried a body face down. So all you could see was the back of that person's body in the ground. And this was in August in 100-some degree weather in Florida.
Oof.
I got to the scene and I'm like, okay, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like, this kind of premonition kind of thing. And I got close to where the body was, and I've never felt faint at a scene, but I did that day because it was just a combination of the heat and my mind just like, I don't want to, I don't want to remember what I saw in the dream versus what I'm supposed to be doing here. So I got woozy and and it didn't help that the uniforms that we wore thicker than thick and a lot of equipment on and whatnot. So they did rush me to the, an ambulance came and helped me, and they took, it's like, had me take off my uniform shirt. I had on a t-shirt, and my supervisors were looking at me like, I didn't know you had a tattoo. It's like, well, you weren't supposed to know I had a tattoo. But they were fun. It was an experience. So, but that and another one with the body in the orange grove, I dreamed about that like a couple years in advance. And I look back at that and it's like, I don't want that power.
Yeah.
So I hope that I don't mind some of my dreams coming true, but I don't like those where I'm seeing a tragedy and then it actually happens.
No, that makes sense. So the book is called Dear Dream Maker, and it is a bit of an anthology, a bit of a memoir, and a bit of a journey through Dr. Leji Boone's dreamscape mind. And so for anyone who's thinking about getting the book, why should they do it? Why should they go over there and hit that buy now button?
A couple of reasons. I feel like it would be a good thing to read. Not just because it helps you understand my craziness, but it might help you give you an opportunity to make a note of your own dreams, reflect on some of the experiences that others have had, that they either shared with you or that you experienced on your own. I believe that it helps to encourage someone else to do it once they see me do it, or I'm encouraged to do something if I see another person doing it. And at times, depending on what that thing is, if it's positive. And then also, in the book, I encourage something called marginalia, which is writing in the margins or writing at the top or bottom of the page or any part of that page to add reflections of what can I do, if I dreamed something when I was a child, or if they can reflect on maybe a house or location that they may not have thought about in years. Just so a few prompts to enter their own reflections. There's so between the marginalia and the prompts and the encouragement to follow my journey and potentially build your own, I think that's adds to the therapy of it all. So the combination of those four things, the therapy, my weirdness, the prompts, and anyone who likes to scribble in the sidelines, whether it's doodling or making notes, making comments, all those things are, I think, a release of some of those thoughts, of some of those, that energy that might be building up in different people.
Well, great. Yeah, that sounds like a really great book for people to get, especially while explore their own dreams or explore their own thoughts and ideas. They don't have to get one of those journaling books. Your book is one of those journaling books. So there you go. So the book is called Dear Dream Maker, and the author is Dr. Leji L. Boone. You can find it on Writers Republic or Amazon, or maybe wherever else you find books, but those are the two places to go straight to. And any final thoughts, anything I didn't ask you want to share?
I would like to share that this is Dear Dreammaker, I Don't Sleep, I Dream is the first book. Because I've been journaling for years, I could not fit maybe 800, 900 dreams into one book. This is from 2006 to 2009. I'm doing 2010 through, oh my gosh, I'm all backwards. 1997 to 2006. The next one is 2007 to 2010. I'm thinking of the third book already. Mm-hmm. But it's a series in the works. And so I'm hoping and praying that I'm able to complete this as a legacy to my family, but also as an opportunity to share my dreams with other people who might be interested in dream interpretation or just curious about stories that I could build upon. I would love to see it become an animated series. I think that would be awesome. But there will be another book to follow up. And the title for the second one is Dear Dreammaker, The Sleeper Must Awaken. So I'm looking forward to that coming out, hopefully in the, maybe in the next 3 months, 3 to 4 months.
All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing all that. Once again, is Dear Dreammaker by Dr. Leji L. Boone on Writers Republic. And so thank you, Dr. Boone, for joining us for sharing the stories of the stories. And it's been fun.
I appreciate it. It's been fun for me, too.
This has been the Writers Republic podcast. To learn more about Writers Republic and to find the books we talk about on the show, visit writersrepublic.com. If you like this interview, be sure to follow or subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. If you really liked it, why not share it with a friend? I'm your host, Michael Whitehouse. You can find out more about me at michaelwhitehouse.coach. Thank you for listening, and join us next time for another great interview with a fantastic Writers Republic author.